All right, well, I am going to show you a few scriptures today. So go over to Matthew and wait for me there. I mentioned Rosh Hashanah just a little bit here, so I don't want to elaborate too much on it. But you know what? You need to study it because it's really interesting, and you need to take a look at it. We were in Israel and learned a little bit about the feast. It's also called the Feast of Trumpets. And that's representing the sound of the trumpet when Jesus comes back. And so they prepare for that. That's why they're asking for forgiveness. That's why they're looking back over there. Now listen to this. Listen, we are so blessed to be Christians. Did you know that? I mean, we're just plain old blessed to be Christians and know Jesus. So they look back over their year, and they look at all their downfallings and all their failures and all their messes, and they present all of their guilt, all of their shame, and then they plead for forgiveness and get that forgiveness, and then they ask, Lord, could you write my name down in the book of life for at least one more year? So they get their name in the book of life if they repent. And if they confess, they get it down for one more year. And yet the Bible tells us that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what it says to us in the book of Revelation. Jesus was also talking to his disciples once in about two or three of the Gospels. And they said, Jesus, even those demon-possessed people, those demons had to bow to us. They bowed before us and we cast them out. Jesus said, don't you be bragging about that to me. You ought to be boasting that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. So I'm just boasting this morning to tell you, God literally wrote your name down in his book. There's a book in heaven. Some of the people that died and went away and came back, they got to come back. Or I should say they had to come back. They saw the book. Many of them saw the book. And our names are there. Also, you may not be able to believe this one, but there's probably some truth to it. But the Jewish rabbis teach that Rosh Hashanah also represents the birthday of the earth. That it is the day that God created the world in the beginning, when he first started in the beginning. And where they got that, and I won't even try to pronounce the Hebrew name, but they get it from in the beginning. And when it's translated, it turns into the word that means the beginning or the first day, the first day, which the Bible does mention in Genesis, first day, second day, third day, mentions all the days up to seven. So they count it from there on God's calendar. What if today is the birthday of the earth? Because look how the world is fighting for it. The world, I mean, they want, it's Mother Earth. It's Mother Earth. It's climate change. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. And you just want to say, see, one time, and I don't want to get off, but I'm already off. We went to Oregon to minister, and we went up there, and we went to Eugene, Oregon. Well, I had no idea what Eugene, Oregon was, and I didn't know how that area at that time was infested with witches and demons. And, you know, you hate to use slang words, but you out here in California would understand the word, excuse me, tree hugger. Okay. People who love the earth. You're going to inherit the earth, and we're going to take care of Mother Earth, and we're going to take care of her. Don't throw you, you know, which I love Earth too. So we got up there, and just as I got there, the Lord says to me, I'm seeking the Lord for the word that I would bring at this church. I'm going to be there for a few nights of revival. And I heard him say, tell them that the earth belongs to me and the fullness thereof. I'm like, well, good deal. I like that. I liked it until I got in that church. I had no idea. And the Lord just pounded that message in. Hey, this is my earth. I own it. I own the inhabitants. And I own all the trees. All the trees are mine. You don't have to worry about the trees up here in Oregon. Oh, I am just rubbing it in. I'm a little whippersnapper. You know, I've only been preaching for about 2 years. And here I am just, my dear Lord. I sure had a lot of guts back then. And so, second or third night, guess who showed up? A warlock. So they sat in the back, and the pastor told me afterwards, said they had already been putting curses on the church. I said, well, I'm sure glad you didn't tell me that before. But anyway, we found out they were there, and they were there to put a curse on us. Well, they got to the back, and after the service was over, we opened the altar, of course. A lot of people came to the altar, and this man came up to me, and he said, I came to curse you tonight. It was a big guy. And I said, well, go ahead. He's about the size of you, Stephen. Sarah may remember, she was a little girl then. I said, well, go ahead. But I said, Jesus is in me. You know, he just turned around and walked out the door. And he talked about that church, and he talked about how he was going to possess it and what he was going to do and what he was going to do. And he talked about it that entire week, but he never came back. See, the devil is a lot of talk. He's a big bolster. So I'm here to tell you today that Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is, it belongs to the Lord. And it does mean fresh start. And it does mean new beginning. So just get ready, church. There is a new beginning. Now, I was taught this by my little granddaughter the other day. She's only 9, but she told me her generation is called Alpha. Remember that? I told you that last week. Alpha. What's that mean? Jesus said, I am Alpha. That's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new era. When God wanted to start a new era, and he closed the era with Jesus, or the dispensation of God, when he closed that, he brought Jesus as a child to a little manger. Okay, new era. I mean, when something new is getting ready to happen, it's just wild. So here he brings this little baby, and the shepherds are out there, and they announce it in the sky, and they're singing, and a host of angels are out there with them. And then here comes this baby, and then baby grows up, and baby saves the world, and baby goes from critical punishment to, if you do anything, you'll be stone dead, you'll die for it, to grace. Just ask God for forgiveness, and you will be saved. Almost too good to be true. But it was. And then they put Jesus to death. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. Well, and then when the dispensation of Jesus was getting ready to come to a close, it was another big display of power. And Jesus said, oh, I'm going away. And when he died, the earth shook. And you know the story. There were 3 hours of darkness upon earth. It got pitch black. Can you imagine having an earthquake and the sun is not shining and it is pitch black and the earth is shaking? There's nothing going on except shaking and darkness. Jesus died and then he resurrected, and about 500 people were witnesses that he lived and he came out of the grave. And then there were a group of people that saw him go away. But I tell you today, Miss Christina, and Miss Wanda, when she walked into heaven's gates, guess what? There was a group of people that saw her come in too. There was a group of people that saw Jesus leave. But there was a group of people that saw them come into heavenly places. So when all that happened, then Jesus said, look, I'm going away, but God will, my Father, I will talk to him. Jesus always got his prayers answered. Always. So he says, so when I get to him, Jesus said in the old King James, I will pray to him, which means I will ask him, and he will give you another comforter just like me. Another portion of scripture, he said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll be coming back to you. And you'll see me. You won't see me right now, but you'll see me later. And then the Holy Ghost came in to the upper room. Shattered everything. They spoke in other tongues, and nobody even knew what they were saying. And there were all kinds of nations represented, and they were speaking in those people's tongues. They were speaking in their dialect. And they heard it, and they believed. And there were about 3,000 souls that day that said afterwards, Peter's out there because people were gossiping, and they were saying, you know what, all those people, they're just out, they're just drunk. That's what's wrong with them. They're drunk. Peter said, oh, no. Nope. They're not drunk as you suppose. They are filled with the promise of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says, listen, there were 3,000 people out there. And the 3,000 people heard what Peter said. They received his word. And the Bible said 3,000 of them believed on Peter's word. They believed that Jesus was alive. They believed, they knew he died, but they believed he was alive and he was coming back, and they had a witness that the Holy Ghost came in the room. Hundreds witnessed that he was in the room. But listen now. So those same 3,000 people that believed that Jesus was Lord and he was the Messiah, those same 3,000 people, guess what? They got baptized that day. That day. Some churches believe, or some churches baptize infants. They baptize little babies. And that would be probably, I'm not trying to offend anyone here today, Catholics, usually Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. I'm not sure about the Methodists. But anyway, they baptize infants. But let me tell you something. That is not found in the Word of God at all. It is not in the Bible. And so if it's not in the Bible, why would anyone want to make a doctrine out of that? Now, we don't dedicate little babies. We ask children to be at least 6 years of age so mom and daddy can explain baptism to them. But because it's not in the Bible, we don't do it. But we dedicate babies. You know why we dedicate babies? Because Jesus was dedicated to the Lord. See, and he is our pattern. And baptism in the New Testament, it comes from an old Hebrew word, if I'm saying it right, baptizo or baptizo. And that means to submerge or immerse. All the way under the water. You say it's old-fashioned. That's what they did in the Bible. The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, in John, first chapter, that he came up John baptized Jesus. And it says when Jesus came up out of the water, which means he had to be in the water. So when he came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost came on him in the form of a dove. So if Jesus was baptized, we are baptized. Well, eight days later, when his mother, was healing from her birth, the Bible says that she took him in Luke chapter 2. She and Joseph took him to be dedicated in the house of the Lord. So that's why we dedicate babies. We don't put them in water. We don't baptize babies, but we will baptize them at 6 years old and above. So then, there's so many instances, and I was going to show you all of them, but I think to save time, I think I'm going to just maybe quote the word. I think you'll believe me. Most of these you're familiar with anyway. But remember when Philip was out there preaching, and Philip ran on to an Ethiopian man, and the Ethiopian was sitting in the chariot. Remember that? Sitting in the chariot, and he was also a eunuch. And so Peter, the Bible says, he expelled the word to this eunuch or this Ethiopian. And when Philip walked up, Philip says, what are you reading? And he said, well, I'm reading the words of Isaiah. He said, can anyone explain this to me? So Philip explained it to him. And the Bible says he believed on that word. And then he says, see, because he had already known so much, he had known all about John's baptizing. Because John baptized down at the Jordan River. And everybody came to John to get baptized. I mean, John was baptizing everyone. And John says this, I baptized with water. But very soon, there's one coming after me. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And with fire. Now, I don't know how you get baptized in water and with water. And then you get baptized into Jesus and with Jesus. That's pretty big stuff. To be baptized into him and with him. So this little Ethiopian man, he said, do you receive this word? Do you understand this word? And he said, yes. He said, well, then the Ethiopian says, then what prevents me from being baptized in that pool of water? He said, Philip, there's water over there. Can I get baptized? Because he was used to John baptizing. When they believed. And he said, well, again, he asked him again, son, do you believe? And he said, oh, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, then nothing should prevent you from being baptized. Let's come get baptized. So he took the eunuch out and he baptized him. And then, listen, immediately, the Bible says, when the eunuch was baptized, remember I told you guys earlier, I met with you guys getting baptized at 9:30 in there in that room. Remember when I told you that, oh Lord help me, don't let me lose my thought. Oh, when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says the heavens opened up. When you believe on the Lord and you get baptized, there's something about baptism. The heavens open up. And you begin to see some things that you didn't understand before. Okay, so now Jesus is getting ready to go into ministry. So he needed this open heaven, though he had his Father's ear. You say, yeah, he was all God. I know, but he was all man too. So don't forget that. Okay, but this little Ethiopian, okay, he's talking to the man of God. The man of God just baptized him. And immediately after he was baptized, you know what happened to him? The Bible said he was transported. Philip was taken into another country just like that, just transported, right in front of the eunuch. So many great things happen when you're baptized. But I've been in ministry a long time. Many of you have been saved a long time, but I've heard a lot of excuses why people don't get baptized. There's a lot of them. And if I said, how many here have been not been baptized, there would probably be a lot of hands go up. And there may be some hands go up of those that have been saved for years. I hope not. They would say, I've not been baptized. Because there is a pride factor involved, I think. Now, the reason I didn't want to get baptized at the Jordan River, though I did, total pride. I didn't want to do it. They would see my hair wet. Okay, I had to get past that devil. So I got out there, and you know, not one person said to me, so that's how you look when your hair is wet. They could have cared less about me. You think they're going to say, so that's how you look when you're wet. They don't care. It isn't about us. They don't care about us. Nobody's looking at you. And all kinds of pride things. Well, you know, I got baptized when I was a baby. Well, sweetheart, you could have been baptized 1,000 times and you could live in the ocean. But the Bible tells us over and over and over and over that after they repented of their sins, then they got baptized. After they came to know Jesus, after they got saved, they got baptized. After they received salvation, they got baptized. After they believed on the word of the Lord, they got baptized. And that's what these sweet people are doing today. Mighty men and women of God. And so Jesus said, if you love me, then just keep my commandments. Look, church, I just want to do what he wants me to do. I'll do anything he wants me to do. And I know you will too. And if he said, he only gave us two ordinances in the Word. In the New Testament, we have two ordinances. Number one, he said, I want you to drink this cup and eat this bread, my body, my blood, until I return. So he told us to have Holy Communion. And every single time we do it, remember him. He said, as often as you do this, remember me and remember my death too, to bring you away from your sin and darkness and filth. I deliver you. So he said, now, take communion until I come. Number two, get water baptized. Water baptized. It is a command. So if you love him, see, and then another part of pride that I've met up with over the years is people say, Pastor Paulette, in those days I was on the road, I've been in this church for so long, and I would be so embarrassed to go up there and get baptized now. These people know I've been saved, I've been here my whole life. And I said, but you haven't been baptized? No, why not? I don't know, it's just embarrassing, and you know, they know I haven't been. It's not about that, it's about you've got to do what Jesus tells you to do. No, he only told you two very important things. Take communion. We don't have a problem with that. We take communion once a month. Maybe we should do it every week. Some churches do. But he said, be baptized after you believe. And brothers, we've got to figure out something. We've got this new baptistry over here. But anyway, we won't get started on that. But we'll put it up here and... I just wish we could baptize every Sunday. Do you know that you all remember Fender, Becky Fender, one of the greatest singers and preachers in the world. Becky and her husband have a church in San Antonio. If you're ever down there, go to their church. They have about 5,000 people, and it's just spirit-filled and overflowing. And Becky says they baptize every single Sunday because they believe that after you receive the Lord, you must be baptized. James River Church in Missouri, just down the street from, can't think of the name, Landmark Christian Center, Wayne Neal's church. If you're ever in Stratford, Missouri, down right there by Springfield, make sure you go to that church. It's our sister church. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't for us. He evangelized here for 6 months. We had a great revival for 6 months, and he loved it so much. He went home and started a church, and it looks just like this, except it's about three times the size. And, oh, it's a blessing. And so go there if you can. But just down the street is James River Church. James River has about 10,000 people. But you know what? They baptize every single service. So, gentlemen, I want you all to help me out. Brother Roman, I stopped over at Farmers the other day, that tractor place, looked at something. I want to take you over there to see something. It might work for it. I've got to figure out how we keep water in it, or do we fill it? See, Porterville won't let us use a lot of water every week. So, anyway, we'll talk about that later. That's another story. Sorry to interrupt myself. But I'm just saying, I would really like to baptize you. Even if it's one person that gets saved, I'd like for you to come up, invite Jesus into your heart, or rededicate your life. And then I say, come on, baby, let's go get baptized. Let me get you baptized. And you know what happened when Peter baptized those 3,000 people? You know what happened? They believed, and then the Bible says all 3,000 of them believed. You know what happened? They joined the church, Eliseo. 3,000 people. It grew overnight. And then 2 weeks later, they had another great explosion. 8,000 more people came in. Excuse me, 5,000. It added up to 8,000. 5,000 people more came. So I'm just saying, you add to the church daily. I'm going to stop. But one reason I believe that people come and go out of the church, to come in, maybe make a commitment, maybe rededicate their life, maybe say, you know, I've been telling my wife, we just need to start doing something different. I've been telling my husband, we need to start going to church. You know, I hear these things all the time. I'm like, Lord, help us. You know, you've got to get people connected. And we're always talking about a program. Well, I got to get them in this program. Get them in this program. Some of these people have babies and they've got jobs. And they don't have time to come out 2 or 3 times a week and go to a Bible study. Have your study at home. I'll give you a Bible study on Wednesday night. Come to that. Because they come in and go out. But if we baptize them, I believe something else comes, just like it did to Jesus. I believe the heavens open and you begin to see things in your life that you never saw before. And the favor of the Lord, those of you that gave your heart to Jesus, those of you that are getting baptized today, I think there's about 12 to 15, you're getting ready to experience the favor of God on your life in a new way that had never happened. And when you come up out of that water, see, here's what it is. Here's what baptism is. Let me show them that scripture in Romans. I do think I want to show you that. Because this is important. Jesus said, this is what it's all about. Did I tell you that was all? We were going to go home in a minute. I did? Okay. That's good. Well, just put that one up in the book of Romans. All right, I'll find it down here. Romans 6, 3, 4. All right, Jesus said, this is what I did. Look at this. Look at this. It's really, really big. Romans 6, look at verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us, Paul speaking, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, somebody say, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen. So that's what you're getting ready to experience, just like Jesus. When we go out there to that beautiful pool today, now David's going to baptize you. I'm not, because it's too cold and it takes me a long time to get used to the water. So you'd all be gone before I got in. So, what's going to happen to you, though, I hope your loved ones are here. I told them, you can invite your family and friends. Come on out. There's plenty. And so, you can invite your family to come. They can even stay and have lunch with us. But what we're about to see is a picture of this right here. In fact, Jesus said, I've come here with a baptism of baptism. And he said, I wish it was already done, but he said, I've got it to come. What was he talking about, the baptism of baptism? He was talking about the cross, the burial, and the resurrection. And he knew it was going to be very hard. He knew it was going to be a horrible thing that was getting ready to happen to him. But look at verse 4 again. But we that are baptized, we are baptized into what? We are baptized into his death. So what's happening today? You're dying to your sin. Okay, you gave your heart to Jesus. You still got some stuff going on. You're still playing around, still doing things that maybe you know is wrong, but you're justifying it. No. Listen, the longer you keep a sin after you know Jesus, the harder it is to get rid of. So we say goodbye to the sin. So we die with him. Jesus died for our sins. So the Bible says when we were baptized, we shared in his death. We died to our sin, then what? We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him. Literally buried, because when you go under the water, you've got a second or 2 seconds or 3 seconds to where nobody's under that water but you and Jesus. That's it. You're in the old church used to call it a watery grave. The Imperials wrote a song about the watery grave of baptism. So it's a picture of Jesus' death and his burial. So when you go in that water, you're just like Jonah in the belly of that whale. You are all alone. It's a flash. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ, here's a good part, you better get on your feet when I say this, look ahead. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah! Because we were resurrected, he said, I'm not going to leave you in that watery grave. I didn't just bring you here just to pull you out of your sin, though he wants us out of a life of sin. He wants to pull us out of the world. But he said, I have something else for you. I have newness of life. I have newness of life. I mean, the old life's gone away. Then why am I depressed? Why am I full of fear? Well, I know it sounds harsh, but you can be if you want to. Or you could, I mean, have communion at home. Do that ordinance. If you need to get baptized again, you said, do I need to get baptized again? Well, did you go way out in the world? You don't need to get baptized every time you say something or do something. You can repent. But if you feel like you should, if you need to rededicate your life, then get baptized. Now today, some people's going to get baptized that already repented. But maybe some are here right now and you say, I'd like to get baptized. I've never been before. I need to do it again. Well, just come on out there and get baptized. You rededicate your life, come out there. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm closing. But I told those people in there, and I mean this. Some of the rest, you don't care about this. But every time before I baptize people, I'm not as bad as some pastors. But I always say, meet me at 9:30 in that little room. I'm going to tell you all about baptism. And you know what I found out after reading all these stories about baptism? Not one of them went through a class. Not one. They didn't go through a 3-week course or a 5-day course or a 3-day course about baptism. They got saved. They repented. They believed that Jesus is Lord and they got baptized. That's it. So who am I to tell you one, as my daddy would say, cotton-picking thing about it? I'm nobody. But I'm just saying, if you want to come to the Lord today, you can. And you can be baptized in just a few minutes, about 5 o'clock. I don't care. Now, just pick up one of those flyers. I think you got one. And girls, don't wear any light-colored T-shirt. Wear a dark T-shirt. Don't wear any short shorts. You can wear shorts or pants, but be modest. Yeah, that's a good word. And so, but any of you, if you believe, can be baptized. That's why I kind of hesitate for people that don't go to church here to get baptized, because I don't know if they believe. I'm kind of like, oh, Philip talking to the eunuch. Are you sure? Now, you believe God's word. Okay, you're safe. All right, let's bow our heads for a minute. Dear Jesus, thank you for this great opportunity. And Lord, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah with your sweet people, Israel. Now, Lord, I know that we share different faiths. They have a way. I won't even get into what they think because I don't really know everything there for sure. But we do share. In your calendar. Your calendar is amazing. All we know here in America is we hold fast to your word. We hold fast to the church. But you were first. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Paulette, I'd like to get to know Jesus. I haven't really given him my heart. I would like to give him my entire body, soul, and my spirit. I'd just like to change everything today. Or I once believed him, but I need to rededicate my life. And I've just gone off the deep end. But I need to rededicate. Can I do that today? Oh, you know you can. So I'm going to ask you if that's you today. Would you walk up here with me? You know, I did this one time when I was about 12 years old at a Christmas play. And I never walked away from Jesus. It was the greatest time of my life when I gave my heart to him. And they baptized me down in the old Tule River. Cold as ice. But we will baptize. You can receive Jesus now and get baptized in just a few minutes. Father, I pray that you'll convict somebody's heart right now. Because you know you're convicted. See, condemnation just will pull you down and judge you. But conviction saves you. Conviction delivers you. And if you feel your heart beating hard in your chest, you're holding fast to that chair in front of you. I want to go, but I'm embarrassed. I don't know what people might think. What do you care about what people think? You should not care what people think. You're the one that has to sleep in your bed at night. You're the only one that gets inside your head. Nobody else does. Don't care what they think. While we wait just another minute, Father, I call one more time. Lord, if a house was burning, there's people that run into those houses. They don't even care. I saw the news the other day where a car was on fire and a man ran into it and got a lady and a little baby out because it was burning. And I'm going to tell you, folks, hell is burning hot. It is burning and it's wanting, the Bible says, it enlarges itself. But right now, see, Wanda didn't know. She was in church last Sunday. She didn't know. Yesterday morning, she was all good, happy, had a great lunch the day before with Laura. She had no idea that by Saturday night at 7 o'clock, she would be in heavenly places. My husband and daughter, they had no idea. We were in Ventura having a church service. He was sitting on the drums, playing the drums. He had a testimony and he told the people, he said, you have no promise of tomorrow. He gave the altar call. You have no promise of tomorrow. You don't know where you'll be by tomorrow at noon. Well, he and my Jamie were in heavenly places by 10 o'clock that morning. You have no promise, church. He said, are you trying to scare me? Oh, I don't care, whatever it takes. I don't care. You know, if you think about that, you say, Pastor, I just want to make sure I'm going. I'm not where I once was. Okay, I'm going to wait one more minute while they sing that chorus. If you want to come, come. Well, any of you that were up here or out there, you say, I've received my Jesus as Lord. I believe that he is Lord of my life. I believe his word. I believe he's the Messiah. Then you come out and get baptized, all right? You didn't have to be in the class this morning. But if you believe on him, that's all I want to know, is that you're saved or rededicated. Come out and be baptized with him. Be there at 4 o'clock to start being baptized and get your little baptismal certificate. David, you'll make sure they have some of those, or Rick. And if we need more, they'll be in the back. We'll eat at 5. And we'll have a good time together, all right? Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance toward you, and give you peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that's above every name that is named. Amen. Woo, God bless you guys. I love you.